Shabbat Shalom, everyone. What we're going to do today is pick up on our healing prayer series, I guess we should say. For those of you who are new today, a few of you, we've been doing a monthly healing prayer series where I'm bringing a message on healing and what we're doing in the congregation here, and then we'll have a healing service afterwards. And we started with an inner healing series, and now we're moving into physical healing, which we picked up last month. And last time we talked about some foundations for healing, a messianic Jewish approach to healing and what that looks like. What are some of the unique aspects of that? We talked about how important it is for us messianic Jews to take seriously Yeshua's charge to his followers to, you know, intentionally lay hands on the sick and pray for those who are in need. But then I also gave a warning against allowing that to overshadow what I called the greater healing that we're called to participate in, to build a vibrant movement of committed Jewish followers who love Yeshua, sort of like building a home for Yeshua inside the heart of our Jewish people. But healing prayer is an exciting and important part of that home. And that was really the crux of what we talked about. At our healing services that we've had, we've really been seeing some neat things, and we've been sharing testimonies every so often. There'll be a few more today, and it's been encouraging. But as we move into this, especially as we move into physical healing, I really want to lay foundation so that we can stay in balance and be encouraged to step out and pray over the long term here. And the biggest thing about this message today is that it's important to us that healing prayer is healthy and honest. It's really important that healing prayer is healthy and honest. Sometimes communities can, in the name of faith and in excitement, you know, sort of broadly brush over or suppress challenging questions and fears and doubts that many of us experience around healing. But I think what that does is it keeps us from praying in the long run. And I think our faith needs to go deeper than that. Our faith needs to be able to acknowledge and address our hesitations and our doubts and our concerns, and we need to be able to be real here with each other. It's really important. So let's address that. Let's address one of the hardest questions that we'll come face to face with more as we do more healing. What about when I pray and nothing seems to happen? How many of you feel that as far as you know, you have been healed or experienced healing or in some way noticed some sort of improvement through healing prayer? Just raise your hand if you feel like you have. Okay, good. That's probably like 80, 90%. How many of you feel that as far as you were aware, someone seemed to get better when you prayed for him or her? Okay. And this, I'm not looking at you individually. I'm just getting a sense for all of us here. How many of you know someone who says that they've been healed through prayer? You don't have to believe them, but just says that they've been healed through prayer. Yeah. That's a number, a good percentage, a really good percentage. And when I've asked this questions to other groups, it's about the same. And, you know, the point here is that there's something to this, isn't there? There really is something to this. Now, how many of you have prayed for someone or have been prayed for and nothing seemed to have happened? Raise your hand. It's probably everyone, right? Probably. How many of you have been discouraged by that at one point or another? Good. I've heard from people who lead, you know, these major healing prayer ministries who have this track record and stand up here and share stories after stories of really credible healing stories. And I've heard them say, the greatest mystery about healing prayer is that we really have no idea what we're doing. So let's look at some discouragements. And again, the idea here is hope. The idea here is to help us be able to step out and get past some of these things. So, a couple discouragements. We might feel uncomfortable intentionally praying personally with someone. What I mean by personally is like going over and praying with them at that time with some expectation that you might see something happen. Because we might feel uncomfortable because we might not want to be embarrassed if nothing happens. Or we don't want to be disappointed or disappoint someone else. We might feel that we believe that God can heal in theory, but that he's probably not going to do it this time. You thought that? Or what if I'm just not worthy enough for him to use me in this? Or maybe you know someone who's had, you know, chronic illness and they've had people pray for them again and again and again, and they don't seem to get any better. And so then they feel hurt, and they stop asking for prayer, and even stop praying, because to do so would give false hopes and false expectations and dash the little bit of faith that they might have left, you know. And we can understand this. We need to understand this. But see, if we don't pray, if we give up on Yeshua's healing message, then haven't we lost hope anyway? So what do we do? And I want to suggest that we need to embrace the mystery and the ambiguity in healing so that we can pray without being held hostage to the results. So a couple areas of where not to go. This is where we don't want to go in our community. Stumbling blocks that lead to people feeling discouraged and lead them to eventually to shy away from praying people in that personal way that we were talking about. We like to universalize things, don't we? Theology, healing, everything. I think part of the problem we run into is that we universalize the method of healing prayer. So if something works one time, then we try to make these rules about it. Like, it always works this way. It's just our nature, you know, to control things and have things in human terms. But it's totally unsustainable. I mean, it's understandable, but it's unsustainable. I like to say God is not a soda machine, like where you put in your dollar, press the button, and out comes it. You know, he's not a soda machine. He's a person. And so some of these big name healers see incredible healings. You know, they really do. But then sometimes, and this isn't true of everyone, of course, but, you know, most of you know stories, pride can get in there. And see, once your reputation is at stake, then there can be a strong temptation to, you know, fudge things a little bit or get a little showy or get dramatic about it. And, you know, like, I think what happens is sometimes people are really knocked over by the Spirit. You know, we've talked about that. But then when it doesn't seem to happen, someone might, you know, give a little push or something like that. You know, like, let's just help a little bit here, you know. And I understand that, you know, like even there, you know. Or we might exaggerate a healing that maybe wasn't quite as profound as the healer's making it out to be. You've probably heard that before, too. Or they can avoid the issue entirely, you know, by telling someone who they'll never follow up with to go and claim your healing and you'll be better, you know, so that way if it doesn't happen, they don't have to deal with it, you know. And soon what happens is these charismatic movements, which, you know, do wonderful things, they get these reputations for being a big show. And while some people receive tremendous healings, other people leave hurting more than when they came in. And this isn't to say bad things about even those people. We're all part of this together. I think we can understand it. The second block, I think, is that if we're sick and we ask for prayer and lots of it, and then we don't seem to get better, we might find ourselves either, you know, blaming God that we're not better. So we might decide that God doesn't care for me. We might decide that God doesn't love me. Maybe he loves the other person who was healed, who just stood up and shared his testimony, you know, but not me. Or we might decide that God doesn't actually have the power to heal. These are some of the discouragements. We might also blame ourselves. So if God seems to have healed one person one way, but then the next person isn't healed, then we wonder if we've done something wrong in the process. Isn't that natural? What if we've done something wrong? And so we reach for these answers. And naturally, we wonder questions like, you know, maybe we didn't believe hard enough when we prayed. Maybe the sick person just didn't have enough faith. I remember one time someone was laying hands on me and praying for something. This is a while ago. Not here in these circles. You know, they were really trying. They were really trying. But they seemed to be trying so hard that I didn't, when my experience, like I didn't experience anything happen during the prayer, I felt badly about it. And I felt myself wishing that I could say it was better just so that I didn't discourage them, you know? And then I felt discouraged because I felt like I let them down. These are the things that are often unarticulated feelings that we have. And theologies around healing can sometimes contribute to this. Have any of you heard anyone teach that, like, you need to claim a healing that hasn't happened yet? It's called name it and claim it theologies. And now, I don't want to totally derail this theology. I think there's a place for it. What's behind this idea is that it's sometimes helpful to raise the expectation, to step out and trust that God is bringing in this healing. So in a sense, it's already here, in a sense, even if the problem still manifests. Does that make, can you understand that? That's the idea. And I think that people who teach this mean well and sometimes even see results. I heard personally of a young woman share that she was healed of years and years of chronic pain from fibromyalgia only after she claimed the healing. That was her big thing. And but what happened was she felt that call from within. And I think that's key. It's not something that any prayer person who's praying, prayer minister, should put on anyone who's suffering. And I want to suggest that really that approach is problematic for us, especially in a Messianic Jewish space, in physical healing. Because the subtle nuances that I just shared are lost on most people. And you find people walking around trying as hard as they can to believe that they're not hurting when they really are. And it's not honest, see? And no one intends this, but what happens is that soon people begin to blame themselves for their illness. Because they couldn't seem to believe hard enough, or they couldn't seem to have enough faith. Again, the unarticulated discouragements that I think people feel, that I felt before. And then, you know, in more serious chronic illness, that could be devastating for a person. You know, they're not worthy for God to care about them because try as they might, their faith seems inadequate. And I think this is why a lot of people are turned off from the healing prayer world and actually stepping out and praying for people. I recently heard a story of someone who was very sick and his community prayed for him, said that he was healed, and he first had to claim his healing. And to demonstrate their faith that he was better, no one visited him in the hospital and he died alone. Now, this doesn't happen all the time, you know. But this isn't Yeshua, is it? Right? In Judaism, you know, the highest value we have is visiting and taking care of the sick and the dying. And people die, don't they? Lazarus was raised from the dead and then he died again. And Yeshua is the one who rescues us from death. He's the one who ultimately rescues us. We should consider it an honor to pray with someone through the process of dying and through their suffering and to be with them. And heaven forbid we miss that. But I think it's these concerns that keep people from actually praying for people. That's why I wanted to address them, speak right to them. Instead, what happens is we move away from that and we'll put people on our prayer list. This is still good, but put people on a prayer list and pray from a distance. And then in order to avoid being discouraged, we don't allow ourselves to expect that anything might happen. We pray from a distance, you see. And we need to be honest, and we need to be humble. And I suggest that we need to embrace both our call to pray intentionally for healing and embrace the mysteries around it so that we can pray without being held hostage to those results. I'm just going to walk through a few. There's a ton of reasons why someone might not be healed, and we don't even know why. You know, that's the point here. But just to give you a sense, you know, reasons that we found, reasons that we've heard others talk about, people might not be praying specifically enough. And so then you'd want to find out more information about what you can pray for. There might be these inner emotional wounds and roots to a sickness that go much deeper and require a lot more and different kinds of prayer. There might be forgiveness that needs to happen in a broken relationship. Some types of illness are self-inflicted because of ongoing lifestyle choices, you know, like diet, exercise, smoking, and they may not be healed if we're still doing them. There might be some redemptive purpose. I don't like to land on this, but there might be some redemptive purpose for the illness, and God's allowing this to happen for a purpose, you know. It might just not be the right time, or it might not be the right person to pray. This is really interesting, there might just not be enough healing power present for some reason. And we're not God, but in Yeshua we share his life. And I think that's how healing prayer works. So I think there's more going on here than a petition. It's that we're actually being asked to be a conduit for God's healing power. That's why the hands is so important and being intentional. It's like there's an element of more or less power that might come through us, even at different times. Just like how we might be more or less aware of God's presence at various times in our lives. So, for example, when we pray here and in different places, I often feel a heat sensation in my hand when we start praying. You know, that usually tells me that something's happening, like there's some current there, there's some like electrical experience. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the person is going to be completely healed every time. I've seen healings when that's happened and when it hasn't happened, and sometimes it happens and I don't feel the healing or I don't see it. So I think that heat is more like God's power is present. He's present with us at that time. But then I don't always feel that. And sometimes this happened last time I was here praying for someone. It came and then left and came and left a few different times, you know, so it's not just the person's body heat. It's really, really neat. Also, I think sometimes a prayer team might just not pray long enough. You know, a common misunderstanding in healing prayer is that we sometimes think, well, God is God, therefore I only need to pray once, and then God will answer my prayer. Either he will or he will not. And that's the way healing prayer is. But there's always a time element in healing prayer. Even in healings that are instantaneous, that Yeshua did, there's still a time element, even if it's only minutes. Think of when Yeshua healed the blind man on the road in Mark 8. So first he spits and makes dirt and like a mud, and then he puts that on his eyes, which shows us that like it's different every time. You know, it's really important. But then he says, how is it? And the guy's like, it's blurry. I see, he says he sees trees walking around, whatever. He touches him again, and then he's completely healed of his eyesight problem. So this is Yeshua walking in the fullness of the Ruach, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So for us, you know, how much more can we keep praying again and again? I've heard it said, like, if he gets two times, how many times do we get, you know? It's as if, like, healing prayer is like Ruach radiation therapy, okay? And so we might expect that someone would be improved even over time, even if they're not yet completely healed. We've been learning from the McNutts, and Francis McNutt participated in a medical study in 2000 on rheumatoid arthritis, which is an incurable, crippling disease, and it cripples your body. After praying for 40 patients, this is documented, you can look up the research. After praying for 40 patients in two separate groups for a period of 3 days, remember, 3 days is a lot more than we pray for people, usually. Four were totally healed out of that 40 of an incurable disease. Most of them were improved in some way, and only a few experienced no change. Isn't that interesting? Because this is incurable, the chances of this happening naturally were 0.0001%, according to the study. So there really is something to this, but we can be free from the need to think of healing in categorical all-or-nothing terms. You see, I'm sure those people who received some healing were still helped by it, and even the ones that weren't still felt loved, you know, cared for. Instead, I think we should try and think of it more like new medication. Like, we're praying, and we'll see if we see an improvement with an expectation that we really will. Francis shares a story that I've shared a few times here, but I just think it's so fun. They're at this conference praying for people in wheelchairs that had come up, and they had various different things. They were, you know, had various different kinds of cancer. And he had called people up specifically who had visible tumors that they could pray for so that they could see if they would shrink. I've heard him share this story two or three times. So that four of them were up and out of their chairs, and the tumors, as far as they could tell, the ones that were there had shrunk. Four of them, but not the fifth. So they brought the fifth person back and spent hours with him in the back, and there was no change. So they gave up. And he said this person had tumors all over her body. The next day, he said they're leaving the conference, going home, and they were tired and didn't really feel very spiritual. And they bumped into this woman being pushed by her attendant in a wheelchair. And she comes up and she said, "Would you pray for me one more time?" And he said, "No, you know, I don't really want to." But then he agreed to just do a quick prayer. And he prayed and he said he saw the tumors shrink. I mean, according to him, he saw all of the tumors on her body shrink. Why wasn't she healed the first time? You know, if you know the answer, let me know. I don't know the answer. There's no formula here. It's always different. So the point is, we just don't know, and that's the point. Look, in Luke 9, Yeshua seems to get frustrated because his disciples couldn't cure a boy plagued with demons. And after this, he says, some things require prayer and fasting. I don't know exactly what that means, but maybe some things are harder than others. In 2 Timothy, Paul, remember, Paul's performing healings all throughout the book of Acts. Paul resurrects someone from the dead in the book of Acts. And Paul writes, Erastus stayed at Corinth, but I left Trophimus sick. And at one point he mentions that he was miserably ill. How do we put those two together? I think it's a mystery here. He was experiencing the same mystery that we're experiencing today. I want to close with talking a little bit about what role our faith actually does play in this. Because I've said, you know, it's not about the person's faith and whatnot. But Yeshua does say things like he couldn't do miracles in his hometown because they lacked faith. A number of times Yeshua does say to people, your faith has made you well. But I don't think it was like they forced themselves to believe hard enough so that they would get the right proportion of faith feeling to make that happen. It was that they saw Yeshua, they stepped out, and they took a risk. The woman bleeding saw him and reached out, touching the rabbi. The man was lowered to the roof, you know, in a crowded room, just to get near him, you see. John Wimber, who was a late pioneer in the healing prayer world and started the Vineyard movement, said that faith is spelled R-I-S-K, risk. And it's encouraging for us because he felt led to pray for healing, and then he says that he prayed for people for a year and no one got better and many of them died. And then all of a sudden healing started happening and this whole movement started and God used him to touch many, many, many people. And the movement is still doing the same thing today. I don't understand it. But faith is not a feeling that we struggle to try to achieve by suppressing our doubts and fears and real feelings. If you can get that, it's every aspect of our faith is like this. Of course we have doubts. And admitting our doubts doesn't mean that we don't have faith. It just means that we're human, not trying to play God. Faith is like chutzpah. The courage to acknowledge as normal our human doubts and fears about our adequacy and our prediction of the results. But faith is to step out and pray anyway, regardless of whether healing seems to happen at that time or not. And so faith is important, but our faith needs to be in God and not in our own faith. So I broke it down, as best I can know, into five things. In order to pray in faith for healing, we need, and maybe there's more, but we need to trust that God has the ability to accomplish whatever healing we need. He has the ability to. Second, that God loves us and it's his ordinary desire to heal. We should have an expectation of this. Third, that he has empowered us to be a conduit for healing in Yeshua's merit. He's empowered us and asked us to do this. Four, the faith action or faithfulness we need to take is to pray for the sick even though we have doubts. And five, while these points should lead us to have a high level of expectation that healing will take place, and I think that's important, even as we pray, we leave the results up to God. And I love this quote from Francis. He gets this in ways that I just never read anyone else. He said, it's necessary that we be free of the need to prove anything, that we be free of any personal desire for achieving results. To be cast down when our prayers have failed to effect a cure means it's time to re-examine our motives to see how much our own fear of failure is mixed into our ministry. So we need to view healing not so much as a way to prove. There is proving in it too, but not so much as a way to prove for ourselves, but rather as a natural response to his generous love in our lives. And this is good news. It is to me, because we can respond to God's call to pray with a high level of expectation in a very personal way, but the burden of whether someone is healed or not is not on our shoulders. Faith lies in our willingness to pray regardless of the results. And this should set us free. We shouldn't be so concerned about it. It should free us to make healing prayer a normal, no big deal part of our everyday life that we do. We see someone who needs prayer, we pray for them. And I want to encourage us to do this, to lay hands on each other, to pray for each other at home. If someone in your home has a chronic illness, pray for them 15 minutes every night. Are you doing this? Pray for your children when they're sick. Do you lay hands on them and pray for them and then check their temperature to see if it actually went down? You know, like, pray for them. If you see someone who's out and you're out on the street and they look like they're hurting, like, go and ask them to pray for them. Why not? What have you got to lose? And the more you jump out, the more confident you feel. The more that you see God's healing power in people's lives, the more confidence you have. Praying builds faith and expectation. Whether you see people healed or not, if you do it right, prayer is just such a positive, loving experience. And it's healing in and of itself. And when I first started thinking about this and trying to put this together, I said, well, I should do this. So Raina and I decided to do some experimenting and go out and pray for people on our date night. We have babysitters, so we'll be going out, and we've really been enjoying this. We go to the ER, and you can go into the waiting room. And the people there are very nice. They point you to the right places to go and pray for people. And it's nice. We just go over and say, hey, listen, we love to pray for people. Would you be okay if we prayed for you? And some people say that would be great. Some people start crying. Some people say, I'd rather not. And we say, fine, no big deal. Some people say no, but then they're so nice to us afterwards, you know? I mean, it's been wonderful. And there's just been all these fun stories and people. It's been really a joy. One time, this was a couple weeks ago, we went out to dinner at Chipotle afterwards, and we were walking down, and Raina grabs me. She says, come, we're going to go pray for this person. And there was someone who had a broken leg and was on crutches in the parking lot. And it was cold. So I'm like, really? Do we have to? We went over to him, and we just said, hey, listen, we like to pray for people. Would you mind if we prayed for you for just a moment? I know it's cold. And he said, sure. So we prayed a short prayer of healing, blessing, and left, and went into Chipotle. And 5 minutes later, he comes back. I mean, not because his leg was hit. That's what I'm saying. He's like, I have to talk to you. He's like, I just started reading the Bible, and that was the coolest thing that ever happened to me. And so then we like prayed for him in Chipotle, and you know, got him connected with some other people, and it's a really wonderful experience. I don't know about his leg. I wish I did. I wish I could say like his leg was healed, and I do believe that in the future we'll be sharing stories more and more like that. I don't know, but you know, like it was still a wonderful experience. God used that to touch this person. Where do we go from here? I think that our fears, our doubts, you know, our sense of inadequacy, all those things, they're the place to start with healing prayer. Because none of us has what it takes. None of us do. I don't have what it takes. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, we don't have the faith. We don't have the power. We can't believe in it enough to make it happen. Because it's not about us anyway. It's about the Ruach working through us to bring Messiah's healing. See, so you're off the hook, you know? We're off the hook. And like the rheumatoid arthritis study, I've heard people say that statistics like over half the time you pray for someone, you know, something will happen or someone will feel a little bit better and someone will get entirely better, and it's probably different for everyone. But like even if it's a little percent, it sounds good to me, doesn't it? If you could touch someone, if you could bless someone, and sometimes you're going to see healing, you know? And I think the more we do it, the more healing we're going to see. I'm talking about physical healing as well, the more physically we're going to see. But most of all, people will be touched. People will be loved. And love is the greatest healer of all. You know, love covers everything. So that's really what all this is about. People live in a world where they're isolated and alone, and no one comes up to people and touches them. You see? Let's be released. Let's be relaxed. And let's step out and let's take a risk. And we'll keep at it. We'll keep at it together. So Shabbat Shalom, everyone.